a Milling About with Bruce Sudano, and it is so lovely to see you. So how long has it been? We were trying to figure it out.
Yeah, you said 1983, so I don't know. I'm not great at math, but that's at least 30 years.
Now, for people who don't know this fantastic story, Donna Summer sent a limo for me when I was living in New York City on the Upper East Side and took me to Atlantic City to see her perform at Resorts Casino, and your family couldn't have been more lovely. We had a private dinner after, and it's just so magical.
Yeah, well, that's Donna. You know, I learned so many things from her, and graciousness and generosity are definitely two of them. So yeah, doesn't surprise me. But you know.
And I remember connecting to you because we're both from Brooklyn.
Ah, okay. I mean, I said I remembered your face, and then you told me it was, you know, 1983. I said, can't be. And you said, no, it's possible. And so there you go.
Come on, tell me I look the same. I haven't changed.
Yeah, you haven't changed a bit, you know. Haven't changed a bit. I always used to tell Don, I was like, you know, it'd be like, you know, looking in the mirror, and I was like, see, this is why God lets your eyes go bad. So, like, you really can't see things, because when you get up too close, it's scary. For me, anyway. I'm not referring to you. But
I like the beard, though. The beard's cool.
I've had the beard for a long time. I have to be told to trim it. It's like my kids will come to me and say, Dad, it's not Christmas and you're not Santa Claus. I'm like, oh, okay. I get the clue. So, but yeah, you know.
But when Christmas comes around, do you play Santa Claus?
Not physically, but when it comes to the gifting, I do my best, to put it that way. You know, but I don't come down any chimneys or anything. So.
Well, you have a great new album out, and I feel like it's like walking down memory lane. Did you feel that while you were writing it? It's called 21st Century World.
Well, I don't think it was so much memory lane as you know, because it's I'm really trying to have a dialogue about some, you know, contemporary issues and cultural things that are going on with the society and you know, some of it, I mean, you know, I bookended the album with the first song on the record is Your World Now, which is really like, you know, a clarion call to the youth to, you know, step up to the plate and take on the responsibility and, you know, change the things that need changing and keep the things that are worth keeping. And then I end it with a song called Coney Island Days, which is a bit of a remembrance of a guy who's, you know, come to the end of his road in a way, and he's dealing with, you know, walking on the beach and thinking about things, missed opportunities and things like that. But it's all about this little boy that lives inside him, and no matter where you are, there's that child, inner child in you, and if you can tap into that, you continue to dream and you continue to have purpose and reason for living. So,
and still inside him, there's a boy. There always is a boy that always is. These are the Coney Island days of passing life away. Time you can't replace. Coney Island days.
Are you the boy, the little boy in the story?
I definitely have that little boy in me, and he is kind of like my anchor, because he allows me to dream and to see and to be excited. So I am a very childlike guy. Doesn't mean I don't have responsibility and don't maintain responsibility, but I like to be a little kid and still dream and be excited, get excited about things.
You should always have that youthful spirit. That's what keeps you young.
That's it. That's it. You know, because, you know, the other side of that is the guy that becomes jaded. And he gets sarcastic and snarky. And I live with the little boy, you know.
That's so cool. So there are some songs on here that I want to talk to you about.
Yeah, 21st Century World is, you know, it's kind of a commentary on where we are. It's a little bit about social media, and it's a little bit about the mentality of, win at any cost. You know, it's like, as long as you win, that's all that matters. Decorum can all get thrown by the wayside as long as we win. And I don't think that's a good thing. I think that we can do better than that.
Well, in speaking about social media, I don't know about you, but I am getting sick of Facebook. Yeah. I am unfriending so many people, unfollowing so many people. Where do you stand with social media? Do you get into that?
I mean, I get into it on the level of, to me, it's really a business tool. You know, it's a way for me to communicate to people out there where I am, what I'm doing. You know, and again, it's really about a function of communicating some ideas. I don't know who follows me. I don't know who I follow. I kind of check in.
You don't have any friends.
I don't have any friends, or I have many friends. I don't know, but you know, to me, it's a tool, and they're all tools, and so I use them that way, and I don't take it too seriously one way or the other, really.
I know. I don't know how old your kids are these days, but they must be 30s, in their 30s. So they just made the me generation. They're not of that generation, which is what I like to call millennials.
Oh, okay. Yeah. My kids are responsible adults, and they're all doing exceptionally well. And I just came off a tour with my daughter Amanda, who is in a band with her husband called Johnny Swim. And
what's that like, being in a band with your kid?
Well, I wasn't in the band, but I was on tour with them. We I played and they played, and it was great because they're doing really well. And so this was a time they were like, I was even surprised that they invited me to tour with them. But it was great because, as a kid, Amanda would come on the tour bus with me and travel around the world. And this was an instance now where the roles got reversed. And I was on her tour bus, and she said, "Here, Dad, here's your bunk." And I was like, "Okay, thank you very much. And let's roll," So
how gorgeous. Did you like take home movies of this tour?
Oh yeah, we got lots of lots of footage, and we would end the night where they would bring me back out, and we would do a version of On the Road Together again, and Amanda would tell the story about how when we were kids and we were going out on the road as a family, we would sing this song as we were traveling. So it was just a nice touch at the end of the night, for us to do that together for on stage. So it was really special.
And your other daughter is an actor.
Brooklyn.
She's named after the place where we grew up.
She's named after where we were, where we come from. And she's an actor. She's on a series called Taken on NBC. And we just got the great news yesterday that they got renewed for a second season of 16 episodes. So that was really good, and we're excited about that. And
that's the... based on the Liam Neeson movie, yes?
Yes, it's based on, I think there were three Taken movies, and this is it's actually a prequel to, the Liam Neeson story.
Is she playing the girl who gets kidnapped and taken?
She plays the love interest of the Liam Neeson lead guy. His name is Clive. I don't remember his last name, but apparently he's a hottie, and Brooklyn plays the love interest, and apparently I've been on the road most of this season, so I haven't seen I only saw the first episode. When I get back home, I'm going to binge watch the whole season, but apparently she gets taken in the last episode of this season, so we'll see how she gets rescued next year.
That has to be so weird, watching your kid on a big screen, like making out with somebody.
it's pretty funny. It's actually more funny for a husband because I kind of like poke at him and like wink at him and he's a smart guy, and he's not threatened at all. He's pretty secure in his relationship. So, but I have a good time, razzing him.
Do you have acting aspirations as well?
I went to St. John's University here in New York, and I was a theater major. So initially, I had acting aspirations, but at this point in time, I think not. I mean, my life is pretty much as a songwriter, and as a, you know, I'm kind of like a folk singer now. I travel around with my guitar and show up places and sing, and
like a troubadour.
Yeah, it's like a troubadour. And Francis Ford knocked on my door and wanted me to like play you know, Al Pacino's grandfather or something. You know, I might consider it, but
I could see that, Bruce.
Yeah.
Keep the beard.
Yeah, I mean, I saw a picture of Al yesterday. He's obviously dying his. So anyway,
well, you were 12 years old when you made your first musical money.
Well, I was a 12-year-old accordion player and got hired to, I don't really remember if it was a Sweet 16 or a bar mitzvah or what it was, but I do remember I was playing the accordion with a trumpet player and a guitarist, and that was my entry into the music world. And you know, I probably made $20 and I was hooked. You know.
Were you writing songs at the time?
I don't think I was writing songs at the time. I mean, my first remembrance of writing songs was really in high school.
Was the first song you ever wrote a love song? Do you remember it? Most of them are, right?
No, it's, well, I don't know. You know, I was kind of a very ambitious, wild young person. And, you know, my first band was a band called Alive and Kickin'. And
Tighter, Tighter.
Tighter, Tighter.
And one of my favorite Tommy James songs.
And you know, so Tommy wrote that song. We had a big hit. But if you go back and listen to the Alive and Kickin' album, I basically wrote the rest of the album. And it is the biggest bunch of nonsense you've ever heard. You know, here's a kid from Brooklyn, and you know, other songs on the album were like Mississippi Mud and Kentucky Fire and, you know, and Mother Carey's Chicken. And I was like, I did smoke a lot of pot when I was a kid, and you know,
that's why,
you know, and the songs go on for minutes, you know, like there's so many parts, they're just a rambling mess. So, you know, it's, but anyway, you know.
You've come a long way since then.
I hope so. You know, the jury's still out, but I hope so.
Now, Tommy James, speaking of, he's been on this show before. He's lovely, lovely as Carol Ross. I adore her.
Well, you know, he should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. You know, I'm going to start taking up my torch for Tommy, you know, because he deserves it for sure. You know, it's like, you know, I think he's one of the most underrated people. And I always say that Tommy opened the door to the music world to me. And he's just a gracious, generous, talented individual. So I'm forever grateful to Tommy. He should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Yeah, Jersey Hall of Fame at least, but Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. You know.
Okay, you second vote right here.
All right.
We'll start a poll.
Hey, that's it. There you go. Two people from Brooklyn can accomplish a lot.
Absolutely. So getting back to this record, there's a song called When Cinderella Dies, and it says in the bio that being single again, you have encountered all these crazy women, and I can't even imagine what it could be like for you to date.
It's not even that they're crazy women. What the driving force of the song was is that, you know, I was married for over 30 years, and I find myself as a single guy back in the world, and I start meeting, you know, these women, and so many of them were single mothers. It appeared to me to be an epidemic, you know. And so, you know, here are women who got married at a younger age and they had kids and they were living with this dream of happy ever after. And at some point found themselves in a place where they were single mothers and they were having to, you know, make a way for their kids and for themselves and rediscover who they are. And you know, I mean, it just made brought me to think about so many, you know, I started thinking about what's the state of marriage in our culture, and do people not take, you know, the marriage commitment seriously anymore? Anyway, so I wrote the song When Cinderella Dies, and it's a song of encouragement and an embrace for all these single mothers, because I give them a lot of credit.
He threw their dreams out the window of the car, like nothing ever happened, like it wouldn't leave a scar. You know the story, you've heard it all before. He's gone, gone. And here she is, with all the baggage. Here she is, wondering how to carry on. What do you do when a dream becomes alive? Who do you become when Cinderella dies?
It's a wonderful metaphor. But what was it like for you re-entering the singles market?
What?
If you will.
The market, okay.
The meat market.
Meat market. Well, you know, it's been very interesting because, you know, as I said, I was married for a long time. And, you know, basically I've had to rediscover who I am. You know, it's like I knew the guy I was before I was married. I knew the guy that I was, you know, while I was married. So I come out of this on the other end, you know, I was no longer either of those people. So it's been an evolution of self-discovery, and certainly the music has been such a great anchor for me, because it's always been part of a big part of who I am, and the fact that now at this point in my life I can go out there on my own and still have my voice and still be inspired. You know, I always had the luxury of being in bands, whether it was Alive and Kicking or Brooklyn Dreams, or to be on the road singing and playing with Donna for all those years. You know, I was always protected in a cocoon. So it was a bit of a challenge for me to get out there on my own, with my own voice, singing my own songs. You know, I've always had the luxury of writing for other people. So it's good. I'm having a great time, it's interesting, you know, and I love women.
We are the best.
I think so. As the father of three girls, I agree.
There have been rumblings, tell me if this is true, that there is a Donna Summer musical in the works.
We're opening in La Jolla, which is on the West Coast, the La Jolla Playhouse. We open next November. We will be doing a 6 to 8 week run, you know, if all the stars align, we could be on Broadway next year.
Tell me about this. How exciting.
Yeah. Well, it's a musical of the Donna Summer life story. And we use many of her famous songs and some others that aren't, are a bit more obscure. And it's directed by a guy whose name is Des Makanoff, who...
Yes, I know who that is. Yeah, Tommy. Was it Tommy? Did he direct Tommy?
He did Tommy. He did Jersey Boys. So we're in very capable hands, and we've been working diligently, and I think we have something really special.
Did you write the book?
I didn't write the book. The book was... Des wrote the book with Rob, whose last name I'm drawing a blank on, but you know, I've been sitting on their shoulders all the way, and I'm definitely in the mix.
So what goes through your head when you're watching a musical about Donna on the big stage? That has to be amazing.
The only way I've seen it on the stage so far is we did a like a closed workshop. I have the ability to really separate myself. So I mean, I think after I got over the initial, you know, little, you know, kind of weirdness of emotional pulls here and there. You know, I quickly went into the role of, you know, an artist, you know, producer with an overview of, you know, is this working? Is this not working? Does this sound right? You know, is the hi-hat too loud? You know, I'm, you know, obviously it's, you know, a big part of my purpose at this point in my life is, you know, yes, my own career and my own songs and all that, but it's also, you know, maintaining Donna's legacy and her, you know, her spirit. And you know, so I really hope through this play, I think it's going to be very inspiring to a lot of people, and it's going to be an encouragement for young girls, and it's going to be a lesson for people who are going through struggles and who stumble and make mistakes. And, you know, it's going to give them hope and that they can overcome and succeed and carry on with their lives. So this is, you know, and you know, it's not about imitating Donna. It's about, you know, giving.
Who did you cast?
We don't know exactly yet. Okay. We're still.
So there is going to be a Donna Summer character.
There are going to be three Donna Summer characters.
Wow.
I'll give you a scoop. There's going to be Duckling, Disco, and Diva.
Cool. I love it.
Yeah. So we'll see.
I think it's going to be a huge hit.
I think you're right. I agree.
I might come to La Jolla to see this, Bruce.
Come on, yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, La Jolla will be a good testing ground. You know, we'll be able to tweak things and fine-tune them in a way so that by the time we get to Broadway, we'll be ready.
Ah, so exciting. So what do you want audiences to get from 21st Century World?
Well, I just want them to think about things a little bit. I want people to come together. I want them to realize that we have more in common than what separates us. And I think that in this culture, in this world, that's a really important message. I think that's what I want them to take away.
There you go. On that note, will you play a song?
All right, so here, I'll do a verse of Common Sense here. We need common sense, a little common sense. Come on, people, use your heads. Some common sense. So many brainwashed to a hard extreme. They don't give a damn about the in-between. Stuck in the corner of their own position. It's the wrong party and the right religion. Well, maybe we could all learn something if we kept an open mind. 'Cause nothing gets accomplished when you only demonize. We need common sense. A little common sense. Come on, people, use your heads. Some common sense. What's wrong with a little bit of understanding? Find a way, make a sacrifice. Give a little bit up, it's all I'm asking. Some compromise. Talking to our leaders and to you and me. 'Cause we all need to share responsibility. It's all so fragile, there's a lot at stake. And there's one last straw to cause it all to break. Yeah, I've been looking around for some common sense. Out the open window and up under the bed.
gorgeous. That's my favorite now, too.
Hey, all right.
Thank you so much, Bruce.
Thank
it's so
all,
great
man.
Seeing you again.
See you. I hope it's not another 30 years, all right? Maybe like 30 days. Let's do 30 days.
Sounds good.
Always news.
Always refreshing.
Always candid.
Always milling about.
Robin Milling delivers what celebrities are saying to you.